Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you guys for listening, for downloading, for sharing the show. It's the only way the profession knows about it is from you guys. We want to thank you there. One more way we like to say thank you is every once in a while we like to pair up with an organization that is doing good things. The Multiple Myeloma Research Foundation, they hate cancer just as much as you and I do, and they're doing something about it, and that's called research. We know the importance of research within this field of physical therapy, so help us out. Maybe you can drop a dollar or two in the bucket and help us reach our goal of $2,500 as we donate for the Multiple Myeloma Research Foundation. You can do it online securely. Right there is a 501c3 organization, so of course you get those tax credits, which is always good. On Facebook, on our Twitter pages, at PT Pinecast, you can see the information. Throw us a donation. We'd be forever grateful. Now, let's get on with the show.
Jump into what really drives you. I think we all can get caught up into the day-to-day thing, but take time for yourself, and that could mean a beer at the end of the day in a quiet place. It could be with a group of friends, but you take time for yourself that you really apply thinking. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go with your personal life, professional life? I think too often those weeks turn into months, turn into years, and all of a sudden you wake up and what are you doing? So apply that and you'll be well served.
Wanted to say thank you to the faculty and staff and student body for having us out to Northwestern University. Those guys were great. Did a live show in Chicago on their campus and then maybe went out for a couple of drinks afterwards as well. Always a good time. Want to thank Margaret Danlovich, who set that up there on the faculty at Northwestern University. Want to thank you guys for sharing the show. I think we looked on iTunes last week and we hit number 42 in science and medicine. Only way we do that is because of you guys. So thank you for listening, for sharing it online, and for just telling a friend or a colleague. That's the way we spread the news of the show. So thank you very much. Owens Recovery Science, they bring you the first round, a single source for PTs looking for certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it. Find them online at OwensRecoveryScience.com.
Broadcasting to physical therapists around the world. Heard in over 135 countries with more than 1 million downloads and counting.
This is
the PT Pinecast. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
Welcome to Chicago and Northwestern University, home of Willie the Wildcat. I can tell you're excited. The Department of Physical Therapy and Human Movement Sciences at Northwestern University. That's where we are today. The oldest physical therapy school in the nation, says Wikipedia, has consistently been ranked in the top 10 by the U.S. News and World Report, with faculty and students from all areas of the U.S. and from around the world. I did some Googling on you guys. Notable alumni. Charlton Heston? Northwestern? Yeah. Half the room has no idea who Charlton Heston is. Half does. Good. Ross from Friends, that's in the middle. Yeah. David Schwimmer, Jerry Springer, Zoe Deschanel, and broadcaster Mike Wilbon from Pardon the Interruption on ESPN. We are doing the show live. I think this is like something like 20, maybe 25 schools we've been to. And I'm excited to try some deep dish pizza later on. Yeah. Should I be loving that? A lot of nodding. This is a podcast. Just be loud. There you go. Good. Better. So we got some guests tonight. I like the fact that we're having some beers in class after hours. We checked IDs all over the age of 21, of course. Our first guest, president and CEO of Athletico Physical Therapy, founded in 1991. He's a physical therapist and athletic trainer and a Northwestern alum from the class of 1989, Mark Kaufman. Mark, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here, Jimmy.
It's cool to lead off with an alum, right? Alum?
A lot of memories coming back quickly, but I don't think I ever had a beer in my hand in the classroom. But
after,
I wish I would.
After a test, most likely.
Yeah.
So we introduced you as president and CEO of Athletico. Just for people who don't know, just how would you describe Athletico? When someone says, what do you do? What's your response? How do you respond?
Athletico is an outpatient physical therapy company. It started in 1991, and we have grown from, my goal was to open one center 27 years ago, and now we have approximately 450 in 12 states. So,
whoops.
Kind of outshot our coverage. Yeah, something went wrong with the plan.
I outkicked the coverage. I don't know what happened right there. How's that feel? I mean, like right now, how does it feel? And then follow up question before you even answer it, because I jump around. How'd that feel like halfway through when you realized it was going to be more than one and a couple more than one?
You know, it was a steady evolution that never felt overwhelming. There were, and that was a lie. I mean, there were moments. when I was like, okay, what have we gotten? What have I gotten myself into? But You know, how does it feel? Gratitude, appreciation, you know, a great feeling and a warmth of that coming back to NUPT and where it all started for me. And the people I get to work with, some of who are here tonight, and, you know, that's what brings joy and why I love to come to work each day.
That's fun. Why'd you do it? Why did you decide when you graduated, you're a physical therapist, athletic trainer on top of that, why did you decide to take that leap and be a business owner?
Well, I'd worked for 2 years in a what I would call a decent clinical environment, but it had dysfunctional leadership. And I'm using these terms like I knew it at the time. I didn't know what it was. It was my first job. And I had a couple partners I worked with that, you know, individually, that I'm sure are decent guys, but they weren't getting along. And it bled over to the team. And so I was a new hire. We had 3 or 4 physical therapists. They had a one clinic operation. It was literally 3 blocks from my basement garden level, as they call it in Chicago, apartment that I shared with my wife. And so it was a convenient job. And they were doing outpatient physical therapy, which is what I wanted to do. And I got there and worked 2+ years and went through a lot of transition within the team because of that dysfunction. And that, you know, piqued my interest of, you know, if these two can do something and lead a clinic, which they weren't really doing, maybe I could do it. And I became the de facto manager about 9 months to a year into my employment, which probably doesn't happen to too many new grads. And all of a sudden, I'm the manager of the facility, which you learn on your feet.
Yeah.
And I wasn't perfect by any stretch. I did some things well, and I didn't do some things well. But I got some confidence behind me, and it looked like that dysfunction was going to continue, which led to, hey, can I figure out a way to open my own place?
Well, you said you didn't really recognize necessarily the term, like corporate dysfunction or leadership dysfunction, but you knew something was up.
Yeah.
And
oh,
you said, you know what?
Yeah, it was obvious.
I'll fix it. And it's about, relationships and people at that point, right?
Yeah.
So what are the things when you said, I'm going to go out on my own, I'm going to do this by myself, what's a first step? That's bold. That's risky. That's jumping without a net.
Well, first step is finding out no bank's going to loan money to a 26-year-old kid that has never opened a business in his life. So now you got to find private sources. So I found funding through a college roommate of mine and a couple, and my parents, my in-laws. And then to go out and find a really bad real estate market in Chicago that was willing to sign up a guy that had never had a business had opened a business, and we give him a 10-year lease, which I can't believe I signed.
10-year lease?
Yeah, first time.
Well, you're going all in right out of the gate.
Yeah, I figured, why not? And that was my first mistake. I don't think I've signed a 10-year lease since then. But
smart man.
But it ended up being a good location. 7-8 blocks, mile or half mile from here, probably. And, there was a lot of learning on your feet, and there was so much that went into those early days. But, you know, I hired an administrator, receptionist, and just thought, I'm going to work my tail off until I figure out the next step. And that meant bringing on another physical therapist and eventually an athletic trainer. And off we went.
How did you know it was time to do the second one? Like, I've got this and I can do it again. Like, what was a box that you had to check in your mind?
Sustainability for the first facility, meaning, you know, I and the team got that. I mean, I was the team the first part. But
the team, me.
I like to talk about team. I don't like to talk about myself. But we had a team by then. We had a few other employees, and we were doing well in that facility. And I think we were offering good service, distinguishing ourselves. A lot of good PTs around. A lot of great service. A lot of good competitors to work within that and fight that differentiation, which I think is always important. And I saw an opportunity through a person that had been a student that was working with me that wanted to, he actually talked to me about opening a second site. And by then we were 3 years in, so it was 1994, and we were doing fine and paying our bills, so to speak. And by then I think I was taking a salary. And so
I'll just point that out, 3 years in, he's taking a salary.
It was 2 years plus, and decided then that we would try the second facility. And the model I used, which I liked, and we sustained that for many years and still have it in some semblance of that, was the partnership model, meaning I We, at the high point of Athletico in its organic form, had almost 80 partners in the business.
Wow. What are some lessons that you learned along the way? I mean, this isn't like I know the answer, but if you're going to go from 1 or 0 to 450, you're going to take some lumps. Mm-hmm. Like signing a 10-year lease didn't catch you, but that's good. And what are some lessons that you really learned that you still apply today?
First lesson that came to mind when you started with the question was I used to think that I needed to hire a bunch of people just like me. And I thought, wow, you know, if they had my work ethic or my background or my motor or my personality, all that, what, you know, and that's probably as egomaniacal as I'll get. But then I started bringing in people that were better than me in different ways, diverse group, you know, just bringing talents that I don't have. And I saw, wow, you know, and bringing ideas to the company and, you know, marketing ideas, branding ideas, programmatic ideas, service ideas, correcting me, offering me feedback when I do things wrong and being open for that feedback. So that would have been my first mistake of just going around looking for clones. Sure. And trying to hire Ben, that would have been a very limited organization. And so we found that and just grew with that. There's so many. When I look back at the growth I've had, it's been primarily on the things outside these four walls, outside the clinical side. I mean, I always had that thirst to, you know, grow in the clinical environment, but to grow in the ways that I've essentially had to grow in leadership and management and understanding the business and how I can drive the business. Also, one other thing I'd share on what I learned pretty quickly is stick to what you do best. You know, I read a lot of books. I had no business training. Still haven't, other than what I've learned. And
I think you're doing all right.
I'm doing just fine. But the thought that I could be a real estate lawyer, that I could be an accountant, that I could be a CFO, and all the things that this business needed, Athletico needs, would be ludicrous that I could do all that. But yet, early on, I thought, well, I got to learn all this stuff. And versus, you know what, why don't I spend my time developing relationships, managing, you know, treating patients, doing the things that I do best, and hiring and finding the people that I can resource or bring into my network or my sphere of influence or my, you know, personal network that can help me and eventually I could afford to hire to support the business that we needed to be supported. And so, you know, the old adage, you know, stick with what you know, holds true in that case.
Yeah, I mean, what Steve Jobs said, you know, I don't hire people, smart people, and tell them what to do. I hire smart people and have them tell me what to do.
Right.
Because they're an expert in all those areas that you might not have off the bat needed to know. I'm sure if you had a real estate lawyer, he would have said a 10-year lease might be a little bit...
Might be a stretch.
But that's great. Yeah. I like that advice. Charity and you know, putting yourself out there for helping people outside of those four walls. I'm actually doing an event right now for the Multiple Myeloma Research Foundation, a cancer organization. So I do triathlons, as we talked about before the show. I always like to do races but have a meaning behind it. It helps, like, getting to the finish line when it actually feels like it for someone else. And so we're doing a charity fundraiser for that. I try to tie a lot of the things that I like to bring to this show with something outside of the show. And actually, a friend of the show, Owens Recovery Science, Johnny Owens, he said anybody who donates anything right now, he'll match it dollar for dollar up to $1,000. So I think that's pretty cool. So I like to attach that. But charity is something that's very important to you. Why is that?
It's something that's grown in me. You know, having a startup business and feeling that I had to dedicate 110%, which arguable, right? You know, maybe I had to, maybe I didn't, but I chose to. I chose to dig in and work really hard on the business, and, you know, we got to where we got. And I had a family and children. I have three daughters, and so, you know, I always talk about Athletico being the son that I never had, and I spend more time with my son than I do my three daughters combined in a lot of ways. But and that's probably a good thing for them. But, you know, I the story I tell about my charitable engagement started with some patients that were from different angles. They didn't know that they were all approaching me, but they asked me to be part of the Big Brothers Big Sisters mentoring program here, and it's called Big Brothers Big Sisters Metropolitan Chicago. It's a good chapter. And I think it was the late 90s, 2000, they asked me to be on the board, or would I consider being on the board. And I said, you know what, I got this business, I got a wife, got a couple kids, I just don't have the time to do it. And so I kept my nose down and kept at the business. And a couple years later, same people showed up again and said, you know, you should do this. And I figured out that I still have this job, I still have my wife, still got these daughters, you know. I was making up all the excuses I could to do that. And, you know, why not? Why not explore and what that brings? And, you know, ever since I've been all in, and I did a talk recently about it, and I would just encourage you not to make that mistake. Get involved. And, you know, it doesn't, you know, you can write checks, you can, you know, donate to different things, but when you start giving your time, your most valuable asset, to something you believe in or something that gives you energy or passion around or whatever, and you all should have I will venture to guess, a passion for healthcare, but there's other things out there, and you found yours and I found mine, and no right or wrong. It's just giving back, and, you know, back to the old adages, you know, you get so much more out of it than you put in, and it's been a true blessing. I found some other things that I really, you know, if you came to me and said, hey, you want to support multiple myeloma, I'll be happy to do it.
Great. I'll talk to you before you leave. Awesome.
Happy to do awesome. It. And I've known a few people close to me that have gone, you know, been through that one that's a close friend that's deceased by it. And when I find things that I really pique my curiosity, like mentoring for Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and see the impact you can have on underprivileged kids and usually single parents, and here in Chicago where the need is incredible. And I'm a unique board member, and I've been with the organization 14 years. I was never a big. Any bigs in the room ever been a Big Brother, Big Sister? Got one.
Yeah.
Great.
All right.
And it's just a wonderful opportunity, and maybe something you'd want to consider. It costs your time, you know, and you impact a kid that usually under the, you know, they usually close the relationship. You can keep the relationship going, but officially it closes after they graduate from high school. But from the time you connect to that child to the time you fill a void that they don't have, that just changes their life. And you witness that. We witness that every day that we're involved with the agency. And so it's just something that's important to me. Flashback when I was coming down here tonight. You know, I come down for the board meetings. I'm always tired. Oh my God, I got another board meeting tonight, and whatever goes on. But I leave there more energized, just thankful that I'm part of it and can contribute.
I hear two things. Jump in, even if you don't think you have the time, make it. And you get out more than you put in. And
absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. Let's hear for that. That's awesome. All right, last thing I want to bring up, yeah, we got some good pictures going on in the background.
Yeah, I'm just glad I'm not in them.
customer service, we're a service profession. Do we as a profession, as a healthcare profession, do we know that? Do we act accordingly? Or what does that mean to you? What does customer service mean to you?
Oh, well, we could go on all night on that one, Jimmy. I think you asked the question, do we know that? I think some of us do. I think it's something that in this environment, in the clinical setting, the PT school setting, I think, I don't know what is taught right now. I know what I had in school, and it wasn't, you know, you have the curriculum, it wasn't a lot about that. But we at Athletico Physical Therapy talk about it, because when I speak about differentiation, there's a lot of good options. People can pick up their smartphone and figure out a ton of options where they can go for physical therapy. So the consistency we deliver that in, the quality we offer, the outcomes we deliver are absolutely the most important thing we do. And I think sometimes, I spoke about a passion for healthcare. I think physical therapists, we have that. And you have to have that if you're in healthcare. You gotta have something generating in you and your motor that you just gotta love helping people, getting them better. But you have to have a customer service orientation, because you know you're there for them. We talk about being present, you know, being totally and completely present with the patient. That means not distracted by the video screen or a TV in the facility if it has one, or your smartphone's tinging, or you know what movie you're going to go to that night, or you know what bar you're going to go and try your first.
Never, I would never talk
patient.
About that with the
right.
Patient. Absolutely not. Yeah.
You can have those conversations with the patient, but the patient needs to know you're there for
right.
them. And sometimes I think we forget that. There's just so much more than in the customer service department that we have to fulfill. And when we have the opportunity every day to make a difference in somebody's lives, and we don't pay attention to that opportunity and deliver at our best, it really is it's a loss.
Yeah. We talk about a word I like to use a lot is experience. Because the second someone enters the healthcare system, whether it's in physical therapy or not, they have an experience. It's going to be net positive or net negative, right? And when they're in front of you, you have an opportunity to at least move the needle hopefully towards that positive side, if you remembered that they are, you're helping them a lot of times navigate the entire healthcare system, which is intimidating. I mean, it's scary. It's hard. It's a pain. It's a pain for me, you know, outside of PT. Like, how do you get into this? So recognizing that you're their navigator, their guide, whatever cool, you know, trendy word you want to use. But it's an experience. And I think if you remember that, then you're providing that experience for them and making sure those things aren't distracting. That's a good point.
There's so many little things that can go. I mean, we can do a great job with the actual treatment itself, but the little things that the communication to the physician, the follow-up, you know, the restating of the goals, the reminders as they exit the facility, the check-in when you bring them in. We talk on the clinical level with the therapist about, you know, how many times have you rehabbed this ACL or this shoulder repair or this knee scope or whatever the diagnosis, the treatment is. And think about, most likely it's the patient's first time, and you have to treat it like it's their first time. And the way you explain things, and the way you communicate what you're going to do, and the way you talk about the goals of the program, nothing's to be assumed. And there's so many of the, you know, the little things we talk about that will make a difference between, as we frame it, you know, being a satisfied patient, to being an evangelist, to being a raving fan. And we want a lot of raving fans.
Yeah, love that. Love that you put so much effort into that. Real quick, I said it was the last question, but I lied. How do you instill that and keep that up with people who are brand new and people who've been with your organization for a long time? How do you make sure they don't forget that? Because that's really important.
I think that comes back to leadership. I think, you know, not just me, our entire team, and that could be, you know, the mentor for our entry-level therapists, that they have to hear about the expectations, and you have to talk about it, and you have to remind them. If I went in and talked to a group of clinicians and I talked about clinical expectations that were related to whatever, KPIs and things like that, and not talked about how we can deliver our very best quality, I would have a huge miss there. So I think you have to have it in your language. You have to have it in the discussions. You have to repeat it. People need to have it. You know, some of you are drifting right now away from this conversation, so you have to hear it a few times before it'll really sink in. And sometimes it lands, sometimes it doesn't. So I think that's part of it, and the regular reminders. And then it has to be demonstrated where it's seen. And are we delivering that? Because if we talk about it and we don't deliver, then, yeah.
All right. Well, you ready? We got a tradition on the show for the last thing we do on the program. You ready for your parting shot?
Yeah.
This is The Parting Shot.
The Parting Shot is brought to you by Fox Rehabilitation. Their mission, to rehabilitate lives by believing in the strength of people. They believe in their clients and their ability to achieve what they once thought impossible. Optimal function to rehabilitate their lives. Find out more at foxrehab.org.
You got to give me some wisdom, one parting shot of wisdom that the audience in the room and outside of the room listening online can keep close to them.
The thing that comes to me quickly is what you said earlier, is jump in. Yeah, and what I mean by jump into what really drives you. I get caught up in my day-to-day grind, and that looks like emails, meetings, and I don't take enough time away to step back and say, what really gives me passion? Why am I here? What am I doing? And I think we all can get caught up into the day-to-day thing, but take time for yourself, and that could mean a beer at the end of the day in a quiet place. It could be with a group of friends. It could be a coffee shop, but you take time for yourself. You really apply thinking and I don't want to use the word strategy, but just where do you want to go? Where do you want to go with your personal life, professional life? And I think too often those weeks turn into months, turn into years, and all of a sudden you wake up and what are you doing? So apply that, and I think you'll be well served.
Northwestern alum, Athletico CEO, Mark Kaufman.
Follow us online.
Welcome to the internet, my friend. How can I help you?
Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at PT Pinecast.
The show is brought to you by Arius Medical Staffing. Quite simply, I could talk on and on about Arius, and I do on the show because they've supported us from the start. But what Arius does is they find you a job wherever you want to go. They've got placements, jobs for PTs in all 50 states. That's how many there are, right? 50? Right. 50 states. In all settings. So where do you want to go? Check out where their jobs are, talk to a recruiter, and again, want to make sure you know, this doesn't cost you, the PT, anything, all right? You just get to go do the thing you want to do, treat patients, where you want to do it, and get paid for it. Arius is just the person to make that happen. AUREUSmedical.com. That is where you can find them. Talk to a recruiter there, paid travel and housing, benefits go with it. Again, positions in all 50 states, a variety of settings. Go here, try this. Don't like the area? Go somewhere else. Short and long-term assignments, even Con Ed money. You can travel from position to position or take some time off in between. Listen, you put a lot of work into becoming a physical therapist. Do it on your terms now. Travel the country getting paid to be a PT. AURUSmedical.com.
Hey guys, the Movement Maestro here, letting you know that Rock Tape is so much more than just a tape company. We are a movement company. Move stronger, longer with the world's best kinesiology tape, topical pain relief, mobility equipment, and protective gear. But that's not all. Learn from the best with our industry-leading continuing education courses. Want 20% off your first product purchase? Head on over to shop.rocktape.com and use the code PTPINECAST. Again, for the folks in the back, that's shop.rocktape.com and enter the code PTPINECAST. Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape, the movement industry's new standard for education.
And we're back. Let's get back to the show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are at Northwestern University in Chicago, Chi-Town. I like that energy right there. Here we go. Our next guest, an assistant professor of the Department of Physical Therapy and Human Movement Sciences at Northwestern University, where she serves as course director in the musculoskeletal course series, specializing in the treatment of shoulder disorders and contributing author to the Ortho Section Shoulder Clinical Practice Guidelines. Amy Seitz, welcome to the show. They like you. Yeah. Bringing the noise.
It's second beer.
Second beer, yeah.
Second beer, that
I
works.
Found people are like, well, how many beers do you usually have when you do a show? I'm like, the sweet spot's 2.5 beers. That's like right where someone like doesn't really care and they'll tell you what they think. And then like 4 beers, they just get slurry and I don't know what they're talking about. But I'm glad they're on their second beer.
It's not drunk history.
It's not drunk PT, which could be a spinoff podcast. We just do a bunch of shots and then start talking about stuff that's above our pay grade. Amy, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks. You know how excited I am to actually hold this mic?
You seem very excited.
I can actually do this.
Yeah.
Drop the mic.
You could drop the mic.
That would be so fun.
But I own that one, so if you could not, that'd be great.
In class, we use the Britney, you know, that goes around the ear. So
oh, you guys have that?
Yeah.
That's got to be fun.
So we don't really get a hold of mics.
Yeah, it feels different.
Amazing.
Feels different.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to Mark about kind of business stuff and leadership, and we're going to change it up just slightly. Twitter for PTs. What does that mean, Twitter for PTs?
Oh, I love Twitter.
Yeah.
I love Twitter.
What's your handle? Got to give a handle.
It's Amy S.
Okay.
I think it's Amy S. Yes. And there might be an underline between my first.
Underscore? It's not? It's Amy underscore S.
Yeah, there we go.
Amy, you don't have to know your own handle.
You don't have to do the underscore.
Yeah. So why do you like it? Why do you think it's good? Or do you think it's good? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but.
You know, I'm not a social media person. And if I was going to do anything, I do like brevity. Brevity's key. And so I don't know, I'd probably join like 3-4 years ago. And I'm like, oh, all right, let me just see if I could join. Let me see who I'd follow. Started following some PT folks. There are some passionate PT folks on Twitter.
You can get into some rabbit holes.
You can. But the thing that I do appreciate is the fact that you can stay up to date with some research. Research, what's going on in the practice, what's going on in different practice arenas. And I think it's just a great way to kind of keep up. I hope more people would do it, because I tend to think that we get a little siloed with some of the folks that tend to be really prolific on Twitter, but I do love it. It's great.
Yeah, well, I think it can be. It's like anything, right? Like, sugar's good, but it also, you know, could kill you. Because sometimes you get caught, because it's sometimes the people who talk the loudest and the most who get the most attention but aren't necessarily the most right. Mm-hmm. So how do you combat that? How do you fix that? That was a question for the professor. I'm sorry.
There's no great fix. Yeah. Go with the crowd. Listen a lot. But you always got to be critical, right?
Bingo.
You always be critical what people are saying, and make sure that you understand the pros and the cons of everything that's being talked about.
I do like it because it can be kind of voyeuristic, for lack of a better term. You can kind of watch a lot of conversations happen and judge for yourself. But again, I always like to like have the disclaimer, like, just because someone says something a lot and loudly, and this is coming from a guy who literally says stuff a lot and loudly, don't always listen to that person. Be really critical of everything. You should be anyway.
I think it's been a great platform for DPT students, and I think it's been a great platform for new grads, and I think it's just another way of trying to be involved in the profession.
Yeah, yeah. You can, good connection builder in terms of, you know, sure, building relationships, which is fun. Research funded by the Foundation for Physical Therapy. Study for rotator cuff tears. I like the foundation. I got to host their gala for the last 2 years, and that's is Northwestern on the list for the foundation.
Of
yeah, of course.
Oh, yes.
That's usually a gimme. So talk about that. Like, you got a grant from the foundation. You know, the money's coming in, and you're doing what? What's the research on?
Yes. Yeah, so we're looking at why some individuals may have pain with rotator cuff tears and why some individuals don't. So really studying mechanisms, looking more at structure and function. So we're excited about that. I think we're still in the preliminary stages of collecting data, but I think in general, this is a great time for PTs in orthopedics. So with the research that's coming out showing, all right, there's no difference between individuals who have surgery for rotator cuff tear, individuals who don't. And it's exciting, right? So why? Why is that? Is it the tear that really is the problem, or is it something else? And so that's part of the what drives my research. It really drives my interest. But I think there's so many other areas where this same topic can be applied. I mean, think about it: meniscal tears,
low back pain,
right?
It's a big.
It's exciting for us.
What are you going to look at? How are you going to do this?
Yeah. So we're looking at muscle kind of function with strength, 6 degree strength measures. We're also looking at kinematics, how people move, if you have an asymptomatic tear versus a symptomatic tear. And then we're also looking at kind of the structure of the muscle. So how are there differences in balance? Are there differences in the quality of the muscle? Trying to look at it from a mechanistic perspective.
And if the foundation wasn't there, you wouldn't have the funding to
do this
research.
I love the foundation. Foundation's been very critical, or very supportive of my research, even as a PhD student.
Should be so critical, right?
And they are critical.
Good.
But supportive, which has been great.
Yeah. So you teach the musculoskeletal course here at Northwestern.
Courses.
Are you responsible for the test that everybody's like just hotly sweating?
It is.
Is that your test?
Well, it is in the course that I'm directing.
Okay.
And there is a test coming up.
Okay.
So we're working on that.
We talked before we turned the microphones on. Number 7 is B. Number 7 is in fact B. Now you're like, I have to go back and look. Oh, like what if it's actually B? Or maybe it's not B. I don't know. Be critical. you worked with the APTA for some ortho CPGs, clinical practice guidelines.
Oh, yep. Love them.
How do those like start? Like, are you just sitting around drinking some beer, like, hey, you know what we should do a CPG on? This, and then you do it? Or I don't know how it starts.
Yeah. I think the APTA decided that they thought it was a good idea that we reduce practice variation. And I think from a standpoint of the orthopedic section, we decided this a little bit before the actual APTA decided to support these. So, yeah, I'm in a dorky group that I love to hang out with shoulder therapists.
Who else? You can name drop. It's cool. Yeah. Call some dorks out.
Yeah, Lori Mishner, Phil McClure, okay. Some of the foundational researchers that we have that really, we're talking like, well, you should probably start to do something that we, lead the way and at least show what evidence we have to support different interventions. And so we got in a room in Arcadia, and I think it was 2007 or 8, like that.
So you guys were ahead of the curve.
And so, so we were like, all right, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? And so we didn't start with just one clinical practice guideline for rotator cuff tears. We decided, how are we going to structure this? So we need big diagnoses. What big diagnoses are we going to hit? So we decided instability was one, rotator cuff tears was another, and then I guess what's our third group? Stiffness. So arthritis.
Way to quiz. I like
that's
that.
That's good. Or adhesive capsulitis, right? So the first guideline came out shortly after that, and I think it's been a little longer for the other ones. The process has changed. The clearinghouse guidelines really has raised the bar for what's required now to publish a guideline, and I think I've had students and at Northwestern participate in this instability guideline. So we're working on an instability guideline now. Hopefully that'll be out in another year and a half.
All right.
But we're presenting this at CSM. So that'll be great.
What section, what setting in PT do you think has the most practice variability?
I can only speak for orthopedics.
I mean, like, I feel like that would be the one. You could just talk trash about the other ones. Yeah. I won't tell. Only my mom listens to the show. It's okay. But I feel like orthopedics, I mean, just because you serve probably the most humans, right? I mean, there's the most variability because there's most people. But CPG is probably going to help drive something else, which is data. Data is coming in terms of payment upon outcomes.
Yeah,
where you vary, not good.
That's right. So the similar to what happened in long-term care facilities in like 1996, 97, prospective payment, right? And so with these bundled payments for healthcare, for post-op procedures, I think it's going to be very important. And like rotator cuff tears, it's a big cost from a standpoint of surgical procedures.
So I don't want to skip over that. Briefly, 30-second bundle payment, how do you describe it to somebody?
You're going to get a lump sum to make
based
this person,
on a diagnosis.
Yeah, to make this person better. And it's the entire spectrum of care.
But then you get actually rewarded for doing it faster.
You get rewarded for good outcomes.
Good outcomes.
And doing it faster.
But
it's a balance, right?
Because back in the day, it was like, well, if I just keep this person on for a longer time, then I win, if winning was, you know, making more money.
Sure.
But now it's like, hey, be better at the game, and then you'll do better. Yeah. I think that's where it's going.
Yeah.
So we should pay attention to that.
And so I think, you know, some naysayers of the clinical practice guidelines would be, oh, I don't want to follow this prescriptive treatment.
It's not. Be autonomous.
Yeah,
It's not taking away autonomy.
It isn't. You can have as much variety as you want, but you're thinking with most diagnosis, Therex is probably a good move.
Yeah. Probably not crystal therapy or something like weird, like,
yeah, you know,
Reiki. I don't know. The research, be critical, right? Maybe Reiki's the thing to do. Who knows? There are some changes. Last thing I wanted to bring up was changes at Northwestern and your program here in orthopedics, new ways of doing things. When I hear new ways of doing things that have been going on for a while, I get excited.
Yeah.
So what are you guys doing differently?
Well, so we've hired some folks. We're all new. I think the MSK faculty, there's three of us. Now
you can name drop.
Four of us that are really serving as like course directors that are really kind of making some changes in what we've done, and we are excited about it. And I think we just recently hired Carol Courtney. She was from UIC, sorry about that. But, you know, she's run a fellowship for a long time, and she's been in charge of their program, really with a good, solid manual therapy kind of base. So we're gonna try to meld the best of both worlds, right? So Northwestern way with a good manual therapy base, and we're super excited about it.
That's cool. And a lot of times, because I do a good portion of these shows live at schools, we talk about how long it takes to change curriculum. So to hear school doing it, and you're like nodding and like kind of giggling there. Why is there an inside joke or something?
It's just painful.
It's just painful.
Yeah, it's
all right,
painful.
Well, that's what it is.
So
why is it so for someone who is not in academia besides just trying to pass tests a couple years ago? Why?
I mean, Northwestern has always been a good program, and I think we were trying to build on the strengths of what existed. And in our minds, having things sequenced a little bit differently, having kind of principles of what you learn integrated within the units seemed just like a better way for us as we thought about how we would want to teach things. And so, you know, you think about it, it's changing every single test question, changing everything that you teach, using the same language, getting all the faculty to use the same language, so that this way, at least as a foundational learner, you can start to apply things sooner. So the goal was to apply things sooner, to do cases, to do breakout sessions, so that this way we can actually start to bring people to maybe to a higher level of learning sooner. So that's our goal.
So when did this kind of change begin? Where are you like in that?
Yeah, so it started in 2014, kind of changed the sequence of the curriculum. And now we're probably going to relook at how we're doing some of the exams, how we're trying.
Number 7 is still B, though.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
But we think critical thinking is, you know, it's the foundation of Northwestern's way. How are you a thinker? Can you do things? Can you follow through from a standpoint of being able to assess the patient in front of you? And how do you do that critically as opposed to just memorize this and memorize that? So there's a lot of memorization. Don't get me wrong. It keeps growing.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
That's great.
About that.
No, it's fun. Good for you guys for being a little bit different and actually thinking outside the box. Parting shot. Are you ready for your parting shot?
This is The Parting Shot.
The Parting Shot is brought to you by Fox Rehabilitation. Their mission, to rehabilitate lives by believing in the strength of people. They believe in their clients and their ability to achieve what they once thought impossible. Optimal function to rehabilitate their lives. Find out more at foxrehab.org.
All right, so no pressure, but you have to sound really prolific here, so go for it.
You said don't prep, which is even
don't
better.
Prep. Yeah, just grip it and rip it, man.
So I guess when you have a plan, you need to be flexible, right? You think you're going to be out and doing this, and next thing you know, something else rolls your way, and you're like, wow, okay, let me give this a try. So you have a plan, but be flexible, because there's opportunities that are going to present themselves that you would never imagine.
Yeah.
And that it'll just take you down a different path, and you might find yourself in a completely different direction than what you thought. I never wanted to do research when I was a student. I didn't even want to participate in a little group project. But now look at me
now, Amy.
Right?
CPGs and foundation research on rotator cuff cares. That's great. Yeah, be flexible. It's important, especially in this field, because you're dealing with humans. So yeah, read all your case studies, and then actually there's going to be a human involved with that. So good luck. Good luck planning stuff out, because it's going to go sideways quick. Let's hear it for Amy Seitz right there.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Our home on the internet. PTPinecast.com. Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.